Good morning, church. If you would take out a Bible and turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 22. The last book in the Bible in the last chapter, Revelation 22. I want to spend some time with you this morning looking at God's Word together. As you're turning there, I look out and I see that we have some guests with us today. We're so glad that you're here. Hope that you can take just a moment to notice in your program as you'd open it up. There is that interactive outline there. It'll kind of serve to guide our study of God's Word together. The connection card in there is so important. And for those of you that are here more often, you'll notice a bonus in the program today. And that is the invitation card. The invitation card. And we're going to be talking about that. So I hope you can find the lesson notes and you have your Bible open to Revelation 22. I'm so excited that we can have this time together to study God's Word. I appreciate so much Brother Ryan and the songs that he chose this morning and meditation that he shared, and Brother Andrew and his meditation, the words over the Lord's Supper, Brother Randy and the time of prayer. It's already been good to be here today. And I hope that what we look at now will be a blessing and encouragement to each of us as we strive to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you found Revelation 22? Notice with me in the Bible, verse 14. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Did you know that the average American receives over 3,000 advertising messages a day? Over 3,000. I don't know if that number sounds high or low to you, but as I began to try to count the number of television commercials that I see, and the billboards and the print ads, and driving down the road, I've got the radio on and all the commercials there, and text messages and pop-up ads and push notifications and all this, I lost track. I lost track at all the different messages that I am bombarded with a day. There's at least 3,000. I mean, I was noticing my kid's cereal box. There's an ad for something else on the cover of that, right? We're constantly being bombarded by advertisers who have a product and they're going to solicit our attention and solicit our patronage. And I just want to give a word to this bombardment of 3,000 messages a day. And that word is noise. We get hit with a whole lot of noise by people who want our attention for just a moment so that they might share with us their product, their information, their service, what have you. Well, look, as Christians, we don't have anything to sell, but we have the most important message in the world. And we need to make some noise for the cause of Christ. In other words, our friends and our neighbors are getting over 3,000 messages a day, 3,000 touches a day. Now think with me, how many of those pertain to the gospel? Or how many of those pertain to the Lord's church? How many of those pertain to their soul salvation? I'm going to tell you, I think very few to none. Wouldn't you agree? And so how do we make some noise for the cause? And how can we raise our voice to be heard over this deafening noise vying for people's attention? How can we say a word for the gospel? How can we say a word for this good church here at Livingston? How can we say a word to speak to spiritual needs? Well, I'll tell you this morning that the simplest way is also the cheapest way, is also the most effective way, and that's to offer an invitation. That's to offer a recommendation. That is to invite somebody, bring somebody with you to our worship. The personal invitation, that eyeball to eyeball human interaction, that human voice, that human touch, that cuts through all of the noise to make a connection, to make a message stick. And so this morning, I'm wanting to take just a couple of moments to teach us about making invitations. And here's the challenge. This is what I'm asking each one of us to do. To make an invitation this week. To take that invitation card, you have it in your hand, it's there in the program. And to put that into someone else's hand. To make one invitation this week. And to do that, I want to equip us and talk a little bit about making some good invitations. And it's certainly biblical, as we read just a moment ago in verse 17, Revelation 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. What a wonderful invitation that is. And so for a couple of moments, we're going to look at the Bible. We'll talk practically about how to invite. We're going to see about how if a congregation gets into a habit of inviting even one person a week, it energizes all of our evangelistic efforts in the church. And so we need to be challenged to do that. And you have the tool in your hand, that great invitation card. So let's talk about it a little bit this morning. Number one in your notes, make an invitation. Make invitations. You can write down invitations there in the blank. And I'll tell you that in our society, personal invitations are so important. They're important because in our environment, this technological era, people come to feel isolated. They don't have a whole lot of direct contact with other people in many ways. And so when you take the time to invite someone to share something special or do something special with you, that is generally interpreted as a sign that you care and a sign that you are friendly, that you are interested in them. And people appreciate that. Don't you appreciate when someone takes an interest in you? Well, of course you do. And in our current society and mood, people like options. They just want the opportunity to come along and to decide, is this something that I want to be a part of? You know, is this right? Is this true? Is this where I need to be? And we're just talking about providing an opportunity, letting people know that we're here and giving them an option to come and check it out. In fact, a good reason to come and check out God's people in this place here at Livingston. I'm afraid that we often overlook a message in the Bible, that one in Revelation 22 and verse 17. That we need to tell people and invite people to come. I came across some research that I wanted to share with you this week, kind of talking about invitations and the numbers. On average, for every 100 invitations made, it will produce about 10 positive responses. That is, we invite 100 folks to worship, and it'll produce 10 guests or 10 folks who will show up here. Now, that doesn't mean that it's 10 of the people that you talk to. It could be that maybe just 2 of the people that we're talked to, but that person has a family of 5. And so that one person shows up and here's 5 people or here's 10 people. But typically, out of 100 invitations, it produces 10 guests. Now, of those 10 guests, those 10 positive responses, about 6 to 7 will only attend one time. They'll come, they'll be polite, they'll sit with you, and they'll say, maybe later. Probably not for me. And they will go on. But they will come one time. Which means that 3 out of 4 people of this 100 that we invited will come multiple times. And they want to learn more and they want to be more involved and they want to come back again. And of those 3 to 4 people, 1 person will be baptized. From 100 invitations, it works out to typically 1 person obeying the gospel of Christ. And I'll tell you this morning, we're looking for that one. You're looking for that one. And we don't know who that one is going to be. But I'll tell you that if each one of us in this room invites 1 person this week, that is 350 invitations that we have extended in 1 week. And all things being equal, that means 2 or 3 people will be saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ because of the 1 invitation you made this week. That is incredible. You are so important to this. We are all important to this. That we make 1 invitation this week. Now, there is an overlooked teaching command in the Bible there in Revelation 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Now, think about this. You can write it down on your paper, but consider with me. How many people do you usually invite in a year's time? How many people do you usually invite? Can I tell you that on average, Joe Christian in America often invites 4 to 5 people to worship with him in a year. 4 to 5 in a year. So at that rate, it takes about 20 years for him to have invited 100 people. Kind of let the numbers work in our favor and find that one person who would obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. 20 years time. Now, I want to think with you about Revelation 22 and verse 17 and see if maybe we shouldn't do a little better than that. Because obviously the more we can invite people, the more it increases the numbers, the more it increases the potential to lead people to Jesus Christ. Here's the Apostle John exiled on the island of Patmos when we come to the book of Revelation. After he has been preaching the gospel at Ephesus, a major city, a significant congregation, and one of the third largest cities in the Roman Empire of that day. And notice what John is emphasizing to us. He is emphasizing, come. The Spirit says, come. That's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is inviting people and convicting people through the Word of God. And the bride says, come. That is the church. The church of the Lord has a mission, a spiritual mission, to fulfill the Great Commission, to go and make disciples of all nations, to be the pillar and ground of the truth. The church has a mission to say, come. But then who's the third one in that verse? Let he who hears say, come. That's an individual saint. That's you and me. We've been invited. We have heard. We have responded. And we have a task. Invite another. Say, come. Say, come. And I think John speaks with tremendous integrity about this, beyond his inspiration of the Holy Spirit. When you look at the Gospel of John in chapter 1, we see that John himself is reached by an invitation to come and see. In the Gospel of John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 35. Again, the next day, John, and that's actually John the Baptist, but he stood with two of his disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, he said to them, what do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which is when translated teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. It was about the 10th hour. One of those two was the Apostle John. Jesus said, come and see. It was that invitation. And John went and he saw. A little later on in this same chapter, in fact, a couple of verses, we learn about another disciple, Nathanael, reached by Philip, the connection made by Philip, who made an invitation to come. In John 1 and verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. An invitation is a gentle approach to sharing the good news with someone else. It is gentle. I mean, you could be talking to someone and please come worship with me on Sunday at this Livingston church. And they say, has anything good ever come out of a church of Christ? Well, come and see. Bring your Bible and see. We're not going to get in a fight. We're not going to be ugly. We're just inviting people to come and see. Let me show you one more before we leave the Gospel of John. If you would go with me to the 4th chapter in John chapter 4. Here is Jesus pausing in his travels to speak to a Samaritan woman, this woman of the community Sychar, at a well. She's drawing water. And isn't it incredible that she comes for this mundane task to draw water? He asks her about the drawing water, but then he turns the conversation into spiritual things. And he offers living water, and it's about his redemptive message and work. He is the Christ. Notice how she responds to meeting Jesus in verse 28 of the chapter. Then the woman left her water pot. Wait a second. What'd she come out to that well to do? But she left her water pot there. Went her way into the city and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. She's noted again in verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. She starts inviting people immediately to come and to meet Jesus. She's so effective because of her natural enthusiasm. She's truly amazed by who she has met and what she has found in Jesus Christ. Sometimes we look at this lady and we think, well, I don't know. It's hard to imagine that she would be the one that's kind of the first evangelist in this area. I mean, she's a lady and he's a man, and there was that social decorum. He's a Jew. She's a Samaritan. These people don't talk. She seems to have a real checkered past with men in that community and in small towns. Everybody knows everything. But here she is, the one saying, come meet Jesus, come know Jesus. And I am convinced that when you change your life because of Christ, it is noticeable, and even noticeable in a short period of time to the people that know you. In other words, look, if you have a nice time here on Sunday morning, but then throughout the week, you're just living like the world, and you're a terrible person on your job, and you're always being ugly to people, and you're cursing, and you're sinning against them, don't leave an invitation card this week. That's a little bit of a mixed message. But you know what? If you've become a Christian in the last 3 months, or the last 6 months, and people are seeing the growth in you, and how, you know, he used to really just go off and blow up on me at work, but he's gotten a lot better about that. You know, Tim, why are you so much better about that? And Tim gets to say, I'd love you to come to church with me. It's changed me. It's changing me. And it's an opportunity to invite. That change gives credibility, and we invite. This idea about inviting people, how is it we only ever invite maybe 4 or 5 people a year? Maybe 4 or 5 people a year. It seems like such a simple thing, but why don't we do it? Why don't we invite others? Well, let me give you a couple reasons that come to my mind. I think we don't invite others because we think they won't like it. If I hand someone this card or say something about coming to church with me, it's going to make them nervous. It might make them mad. Can I tell you something? I want to encourage you something. Maybe out of 1,000 touches, maybe out of 1,000 invitations, you're going to get somebody mad. I've knocked on plenty of doors. I've knocked on so many doors, I don't care if I knock on another door again. But I know I will. I've only ever had one door slammed in my face. Just one. And there was only one time I thought a dog was going to eat me. Just one. But God was with me, and the dog didn't eat me, and here I am. I want to encourage you that whatever scenario you're devising in your mind of the terrible things that would go awry when you try to invite somebody to church, that's just not going to happen. They're going to say thank you. They're going to say thank you. And that may just be the end of it right there. But we think they won't like it. They're not going to mind. An invitation is a gentle way to share the good news with other people. We say, well, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of rejection. I'm afraid of that door slam. I'm afraid it'll be weird the next time I see him. Listen, if God said we need to do something, then we're going to do it. And God said, if you heard, say come. You can do it. You can do it. It's not as difficult or confrontational as we think it might be. You don't have to get into arguments. You just give them a card. And there's nothing to be afraid of in that. And then kind of along with that, we say, well, I don't want to do it. And I'm afraid because I just don't know what to say. And a lot of times that's just because we haven't thought of one thing to say. And I'm going to walk you through a little process in just a minute. So you're going to know the thing that you want to say. But honestly, if you love the Bible classes here, then that's what you want to talk about. My kids learn so much in Bible class. I learn so much in the Bible class. Come to a Bible class with me. If it's the powerful, you know, uplifting song worship Brother Andrew's just taking, he's like, I cannot share this meditation about communion before I tell you about the song worship. That's my heart exactly. I've already told you this. I never want to get up and preach. I want to sing another song. And so when you know people are going to be moved and touched by uplifting song worship, to participate that way, that's what you talk about. That's what you talk about. And so we know what we like about the congregation. We know what our kids like about the congregation. We pick one thing and that's what we talk about. All of this to say, you already know what to say, folks. You already know it. And I want you to invite someone this week. Who are you going to invite this week? We are looking this week for people who are spiritually motivated. Right now, they're spiritually motivated. And here's the thing about people and their spiritual motivation. Those windows don't always stay open for very long. It's a window. Something's going on in their life, or there's a curiosity, or there's a question. There's a window up, and we invite, we connect with them through that window. But in another week or two, that window might be down. They've found a solution somewhere else. They're not considering those things anymore. Something else has distracted them. It's important that we talk to people this week. Invitations are wonderful because everyone can invite someone. Everyone in the church can do it. You can do this. You say, oh, I'm too old to invite someone to worship. No, you're not. Don't you know that older people have the most moral and ethical authority? It's because you've been walking with Jesus for so many years. It's because you've been living in light of the Word of God that it pays off now. And so you are respected, and your wisdom is asked for. I couldn't think of the word. Requested. Your approval matters. And so you have influence when you invite someone. You say, well, I'm too young and I'm too busy to invite someone to worship. Well, look, young families at the ball fields, I want you to know you are sitting with the most inclined segment of our community to respond to an invitation to worship. Did you know that it is people between the ages of 20 and 40 that are most likely to visit a new church or visit a church different from the one where they grew up? And after that, it's people ages 20 and under that are most likely to visit a new church. Let me tell you what a good invitation looks like, because you are the person to do it. Number one, a good invitation is timely. We put this card in their hand and we say, this Sunday. That makes it timely. This week, this Sunday, love you to come and worship at Livingston. Or we say, this Wednesday, Bible classes for all ages, this Wednesday. That's what makes it an invitation. We have something timely along with that. It is specific, okay? It is specific. This Wednesday, there's a great Bible class for all ages. This Sunday, we are walking through the Bible in the auditorium. We have a class on families. Hey, you're a parent. Would you like to know what God says about raising your kids? We've got a great class for that. But it's specific. It is specific. I know we're going to have a singing here in January. That's something specific to invite people to. Or if we do a Bring Your Neighbor Day, but we talk about something specific. And third, we talk about why it's beneficial to them. I'm kind of harping on this Bible class example. That, you know, that's close to my heart. But what we can tell people is at Livingston, the folks are honestly trying to teach the Bible. It's not babysitting for your kids. They're going to learn the Bible and they love the Bible. Don't you want your kids to know the Bible? Of course you do. Of course you do. That's important. And we help that happen here. Parents want to have moral kids. They want to have stand-up kids. Teach the kids the Bible. It goes a long way. It instills those things. Absolutely it does. And I'll tell you this, that the invitation cards are wonderful tools. They're wonderful. You have one in your program, by the way. Hopefully you found it by now. There's more on the tables in the back in case you're really fired up and you want to make two invitations this week. That will be allowed. But you've got one in your hand. You've got one in the program. Who are you going to give it to? Now, I kind of need you to pay attention to the lesson a little bit right now. But what you're going to find on that invitation card is great information about what's going on here, as well as the web address. These cards, they do all kind of all the inviting, all the talking for you. It's a tremendous tool. We're going to talk about some places where you can leave those in just a minute. But it's a tremendous tool. They're in your hand. So make an invitation this week. Now let's talk about a kind of an invitation. Let's take our invitation up a notch, okay? Number two in your notes. Make recommendations. recommendations. We all appreciate recommendations. I'm new in town, and I am truly living off of recommendations right now. Because I don't know anybody, I don't know anything. And so where do you go to get your car worked on? And where do you go for that's a dentist? And where can you go to get fresh fruit? And who can teach me about these plants in my yard? I don't know any of these things. And Jaime can, you know. And I need recommendations. It's huge. Do you know somebody new to the area? We live off of these. We love a tip. Man, I went to a great restaurant the other day. We love a suggestion. Hey man, if you're looking for, you know, that movie the other night was awesome. You should take the kids. We do this kind of thing all the time. I'm talking about this. Recommend. Give a tip. Invite people to worship here. A good recommendation is timeless. We don't always say this Sunday, but we do say things like, well look, if you're ever looking for this, or when you're after that, or if you ever wondered about such and such, I recommend Livingston Church. I recommend going to a Bible class over there at Livingston Church. It's clearly beneficial to them. Clearly beneficial to them. The neat thing about the recommendations becomes a lot more subjective, a lot more personal. You share your heart. This is where you talk about how and why you're part of the congregation. How and why you're a Christian. How and why other people ought to be Christians too. It's personal, subjective. And so you say something like this. If you're ever looking for a benefit, okay, I recommend Livingston Church. That benefit might be great Bible classes for your kids. I recommend Livingston Church. Recommendation or benefit on it might be for spiritual foundation for your family. I recommend Livingston Church. It might be uplifting song worship. I recommend Livingston Church. It might be passionate Bible preaching. There are some people I've already met in this congregation that are fantastic at recommending this church. I've had two or three people come and tell me about a particular sermon. It was the same sermon that Buddy Payne preached here one time. And see if you remember the message. He drew a big circle and it was a pie. And all the different pieces in the pie was a different slice of life. And here's your job and here's your family and here's your God and all the different slices. And then he took God and he's not a slice of the pie. He stuck him right in the middle. He's the part of everything. Do you know I've had three different people preach that sermon to me in the foyer? So it's touching people's lives. Well, then that's something to recommend. I've had two or three people come and tell me about, well, the reason why I'm a Christian is because I got invited by Bob and Terry Andrews. I mean, that's, I was invited. It was an invitation. Somebody here, and I came one time, and well, here I am today. And I was baptized 10 years ago. I was baptized 15 years ago. And so life was changed here. The gospel was found here. That's something to recommend. That's a benefit to you. That's a benefit to you. And you share that, and you tell someone else. And so what did I do in the notes? It's a little bit of homework to help you make this recommendation. Okay, there's some questions there to think about. How would you answer or finish statements like this? I like Livingston Church because I like this benefit, that benefit at Livingston Church. The church at Livingston, it made my life better by. And there's some other things in the notes. My point is this: if you take 5 minutes or 10 and you go through that process to finish those statements out, you already know what you're going to say. You already know what you're going to recommend to somebody else. Because this is how the gospel has touched you, and God has worked through this church to touch you, and it will happen for others. We turn an invitation into a recommendation, really by taking a time element off of it. Okay? We said, won't you come to Bible class with me this Sunday? This Sunday I'm busy. This Sunday's golf Sunday. Okay. Well, look, if you're ever looking for some great Bible classes for your kids, I recommend Livingston Church. Keep the card. All the information's there on the card. Keep the card. Okay? And so an invitation, they say, well, I'm busy. I can't do that. I'm not interested right now. And you just say, well, that's fine. When you're interested, when you're looking for it, and keep the card. You say, well, Andrew, okay, I'm thinking about a person that I'm going to invite this week, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. But will they come? Will they come? And that's the third thing I want to talk to you about this morning. But will they come? I'll tell you, one of the things that's so exciting about living in this area is all of the people. There are plenty of people that live around here, plenty of folks that we can meet and invite. The other day, Heather and I were having a little bit of fun, and I was telling them about where my house is in relation to the church building. And do you know it's about 13 miles, I guess, away from the church building. And so what we did was we plotted on a map. Here is the church building, and here's Andrew's house. And we drew a circle, that radius 13 miles, all the way around on the map. And we started doing a little digging, and we found that within 13 miles of this church building, 400,000 people live, reside. 400,000 people live within 13 miles of this church building. There are plenty of people to meet and to invite. There's our family, there are our friends, there are our coworkers, there are our neighbors. They are people who need the gospel. And can you imagine what this church would look like if we could connect and begin to reach even 1% of 400,000 people? Can you imagine what this community would start to look like if we could reach and connect with even 1% of 400,000 people? I tell you, it's incredible. It's wonderful. And you're part of it. You're part of it this week when you invite just one. When you invite one. Remember our math. We said for every 100 invitations made, you're going to get about 10 guests. Of the 10 guests, 6 to 7 are going to come one time. Likely they won't return. Which means that 3 to 4 will come multiple times, and ultimately 1 or 2 will be baptized. What's our attitude about those facts? What's our attitude about those facts? Well, let me ask you this. Does a hunter stop hunting? Does a hunter stop his hunting trip because he's walked into the woods 10 paces and he didn't see the deer, so that's it for the day and he's gone? Or does he walk a little farther into the woods? Does a young lady stop shopping for a new dress because she didn't find the right dress at the first store? Or does she go on to the next door? Does a fisherman give up on the whole trip because he doesn't catch a fish on the first cast? Or does he cast again? Does he move the boat to another place and cast from there? It's really about our attitude, and remember who we're looking for, what we're looking for. When we think on evangelistic effort and inviting folks, when we say, come and see, come and see, we are looking for the people who will come. We're not worrying, getting discouraged about the people who say not now or say no. We're looking for the people who will come. And we live in such an exciting and dynamic place for evangelism. It's an exciting and dynamic time. More Americans will respond favorably to an invitation to visit a new church today, probably than any other time in American history. There was a major research project done a couple of years ago now by the Pew Research Center, but they surveyed 35,000 Americans to do a study on religious trends in our country. 35,000, that's a nice sample. And what they found was this: 16% of Americans are religiously unaffiliated. You invite them to worship on Sunday, and they're like, well, I've never been to church in my life. How exciting is that? And they found that 44% of Americans will leave the church of their childhood for another. Isn't that interesting? This is a change time in our culture, and people are seeking religiously and they're trying new religious things. Now, couple that with some information found by the Institute of American Church Growth, and this was a survey of 10,000. What was responsible for your coming to this church? 1% saw the billboard. 1% saw the newspaper ad. 11% found a tract somewhere. The preacher guy, pastor, invited me. 13%. The internet's growing, and I think it's growing even more. But they saw a web page or found it on a search engine. And some of our contact cards are telling us people are finding us on search engines. But then check this out. 47%. A friend or a relative invited me. A friend or a relative invited me. You know what that means? You're going to be better at this than the preacher. You say, well, that's a long list of things I can add something to. I'm better than the preacher. You're better at this than the preacher. You're better at this than mass media because you're personal. You make the connection. Now, because it's personal and because you know them and they know you, maybe I better just real quick give a disclaimer to, okay, our communication and our conduct credits the invitation, or it could discredit the invitation. What does James chapter 3 and verse 10 warn against? That out of the same mouth comes both blessing and cursings. And he says, that ought not to be. And so, you know, if you're always cussing at people and losing your temper and behaving like a heathen at work all the time, don't invite people to church. I knew of a situation, a fellow obeyed the gospel down in the Caribbean. He became a Christian, but then he fell away. And he didn't have a job. He started spending his afternoons at the gas station, standing between the two gas pumps that they had there, this little island gas station, and he drank. He drank all day long. And when people came by to get gasoline for their car, he started inviting them to church, telling them they need to get baptized. They're going to hell. Don't they know it? And then they drove on. He didn't practice it himself, right? He'd fallen away. Did he know right things to do? Yeah, but he wasn't doing them. He wanted to tell people right things. And discredits all of it. Discredits all of it. That's a shame. That's a shame. You know, if you're going to be gracious and generous when you're giving a tip at a restaurant, leave that invitation card there on the table. But if you're stingy and you're a bad tipper, please don't do that. We don't need our name. We don't need the Lord's cause associated with stinginess. But if you're gracious, you're kind, you're polite, yes, please invite them. It makes a difference. A lot of servers don't meet polite people that they're serving. If people at your work have heard you talking about religious things, though, in the past, or you're excited because you've recently become a Christian, then they're not surprised at all to get an invitation. Of course, it's the time to invite. Will anybody come? Don't sell people short. Don't sell people short. They're smart. They're seeking. They're looking. The way of the wicked in Proverbs 4 verse 19 is a way of darkness, and they don't even know why they stumble. My life's just a mess and I don't know how I got here. Boy, an invitation would make a difference. Boy, a recommendation would make a difference. Can I tell you about the recommendation that didn't happen? Now, this is a true story, okay? It was reported to me, overheard in a Bible class, but I got verification on this. This actually happened in a church. There was a deacon sharing with the Bible class and talking about a person new to the community that he had met that week. And the guy said to the deacon, hey, my family and I are new to town. Do you know a good place where we could worship? And the deacon looked at him and said, now, what do you all know to do when someone says, where's a good place to go and worship? Yeah, invite, here, right here, this one. Hey, I have a card. That's what you do. Guess what he did? He looked at the fellow and said, well, now which way do you lean? Yeah, some of you are already seeing where this is going. Yeah, which way do you lean? So the guy was like, oh, I mean, I don't have a leaning. I guess we're non-denominational. I'll go anywhere. So the guy said, so I looked at him, I thought about it, and I said, well, you might try such and such. I think it was a Nazarene church. He told the class, he looked like one of those guys that wanted a rock and roll band at church, and I didn't think he'd want anything we're doing. That was a recommendation that didn't happen. There was a brother in Christ whose attitude really was ungodly, prejudging someone, and as God has given him an opportunity to invite, he spurned that opportunity. He became a stumbling block, really. Makes it harder for someone to find the truth. That's a recommendation that didn't happen. Never let that be said of you. Never let that be said of me. We need to make some noise for the cause. We need to make recommendations, make invitations. Can you imagine what it would be like to see four or five guests, non-Christian guests, in this room next Sunday? All things being equal, that can happen if each of us makes one invitation this week. That can happen if that becomes a habit for this church every Sunday. Can you imagine 15 or 20 new Christians, babes in Christ, in this room? How would that change things? How would that change things? To see people coming down the aisle semi-regularly, getting baptized into Christ. How would that change things? And that can be the new normal. If we'd make one invitation this week. Might even get into a habit, but I tell you what, it starts with one invitation this week. It starts with one. Just this week. Here's the challenge. This is what we need. You make an invitation. You make a recommendation. You put that card in someone's hand. Thank you so much for your good attention. This week is your chance to say, come. And that's what we're taught in Revelation 22 and verse 17. You have heard. It's time to say, come. If you want to put your Bibles away and put your notes away, that'll be all right. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. Brother Ryan's going to lead us in one more uplifting song here. So how am I doing at this? How am I doing at this? My daughter Erin told me, she's my 10-year-old, she's the oldest. She goes, Daddy, you've been inviting a lot of people to church lately. And I said, well, I'm really trying to. And that was even before I was going to preach this sermon. But I really was trying to. I really have been trying to. Let me tell you about how a couple of them have gone, okay? So I get into town about 6 weeks ago, and I go over to my bank getting some paperwork in order because I'm going to purchase a house. And I'm talking to the teller, and she's like, oh, you're buying a house here in the area. I sure am. She said, where are you moving from? And I said, well, we're moving down from Tennessee, Middle Tennessee. And she looked at me, and she goes, why would anyone leave Tennessee to come here? She said, Tennessee is beautiful. It's hot here. You don't even know. And I smiled and said, I've just got to town, but I am so excited to be here because I'm working with a great church that's meeting at the corner of Livingston and Sunset. And I slid the card underneath it. I said, it's a new ministry for me. It's exciting. It's fresh. It's a wonderful church. And I'd love for you to come and worship there. And she took it and she said, thank you. And she put it on the monitor. So we've been having some appliances worked on at the house. And there was a fellow that's come a couple of times to work on a dryer for us. And so over a 2 or 3 week period, he'd been by the house and was getting it all figured out. Well, the last time he came by, I was walking him out to his van. And I pulled the card out of my pocket and I said, look, I said his name. I said, you've been a great help to me. You've done great work. And I'm a new preacher in the area and I would love to be able to help you in some way. And I said, I don't know if I've mentioned this to you yet. And he goes, oh, no, wait. And he reached over into the van and he pulled this very card out of his console. And he said, yeah, when I was here the first time, you invited me and I keep it right here. I can't tell you how excited I was. He hadn't thrown the card away. I didn't remember talking to him. He still had the card. These cards are great. You need to take one and give it to somebody. And here's the third one, because I'm not going to tell you stories all day, but here's the third one. So you have to get some insurance for your house. And I'm talking to my insurance agent, and he wants to know why I'm coming down here. I'm telling him, oh, I'm starting to work with a new church. I'm very excited about it. He goes, no kidding. My wife and I are looking for a church. And I said, no kidding. And we start to talking about spiritual things and the family. And we talk a little business. We talk a little religion. We talk a little business. And we talk a little religion. Well, they came to visit the first time 2 weeks ago. And I'm looking forward to them coming back. We don't know who's going to respond. We don't know who's going to come. We don't know who's going to obey the gospel. But that person you're talking to won't if you don't step up and invite them. Make the connection. And be a part of something exciting that God is doing in saving souls for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be a part of something exciting that's happening right here at Livingston Church. Be a part of it. So you have your card. You got some questions to work through. You already know what you're going to say. If you can't do anything else, you're just going to leave it with a generous tip. You're going to make your invitation this week. I know you are. So now we're going to sing a song of encouragement. And if there's one in the room who's been considering a little bit, the Lord's invitation. The gospel to wash their sins away by the power of the blood of Christ. They're done living life for themselves. They're ready to follow the Lord. You can become a Christian right now. You can come forward and confess Jesus is the Son of God. We'll stop everything for just a couple of minutes. We'll baptize you into Christ. You'll leave here a new creation in Christ, in the fellowship of the church, with the hope of heaven. We'd love to help you with that or any other spiritual need. Whatever it is, we invite you to come forward and make that spiritual need known now. So together we stand and sing.